This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Can Transform Weaknesses.
James chapter 5 says this: are you hurting? Then you should pray. Are you happy? Then you should sing songs of praise. Are you sick? Then you should call the church elders to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now that's James chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. It's such an important passage that we're going to look at it for 2 weeks. And the reason we're going to look at it for 2 weeks is because it has to do with two different kinds of problems in your life: illnesses and weaknesses. Illnesses and weaknesses. This passage uses several different words in the Greek for different kinds of illnesses. When it says, are you hurting? That's kakapatheo, which means, are you having trouble? Are you suffering? And then when it says, if you're sick, it uses the word asthenēo. Now, theneo is actually the Greek word. Theneo is the Greek word for a strength. When you put an A in front of it, it means the opposite. Asthenēo means weak. And so he's saying there, when you're sick, you call the elders. Well, actually, it could be either weakness or illness. That word, asthenēo, is used many times in the Bible, in the New Testament. And about half times, it's talking about a physical illness, like when Lazarus got sick and died, that was a deadly illness. It's called asthenēo. But it also is used in places where it says, if you have a weak conscience or you have a weak memory, or you have a weak faith, that's asthenēo. So this week, we're going to look at a faith that helps you transform your weaknesses. And next week, we're going to look at a faith that can heal your illnesses, heal your illnesses. Now, I want to read that last verse again from the Amplified Translation. It gives a little fuller meaning to all of the words there. It says this: confess your faults one to another, your sins, your slip-ups, your false steps, your offenses, your weaknesses. All of those are included in that. False steps, weaknesses, offenses. And pray for one another so that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. Now, how does God do that? What is the process that God uses to transform my weaknesses into strengths? Well, he actually uses three different steps. And I want us to look at these today and see what James has to say about them. Now, the first thing, how God transforms my weaknesses into strengths, starts with this. I must identify my natural weaknesses. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 3, be honest in your estimate of yourself. Don't think of yourself better than you are. You know, I can't work on a weakness unless I call it out. I name it. I get specific. Not to just say, now we all have weaknesses. That's not good enough. You're not going to work on anything in general. You can only work on specifics. The Bible says, be honest in your estimate of yourself. Don't think of yourself better than you are, and be specific. Say, you know what? I'm lazy, or I tend to be exaggerate, or I'm late, or I'm a perfectionist, or whatever your weaknesses are. Get specific about them. Identify them. You know, Acts chapter 14, verse 15 is what I call the second great confession in the Bible. The first great confession is when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that's the first confession you need to say. Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the second great confession is Paul's confession, Acts 14:15, where he says, "We too are only men. We're just humans like you." They had had some people be healed in this city, and they wanted to turn Paul and his friends into gods. They said, "Wait a minute, guys, we're just normal people. We're like you." You have to hold both of these in balance in your life. God is God, and you're not. But it starts with identifying what are the weaknesses in your area. You can't work on them until you identify them. Number two. Second, I have to learn how God wants to use my weaknesses. I need to learn how God wants to use my weaknesses. You say, "God wants to use my weaknesses?" Yes, He does. He wants to use your weakness. God can use even bad things in our lives for good. How is God going to use my weaknesses for any good? Well, let me give you three or four suggestions. You might write these down. Number one, my weaknesses should prevent arrogance. My weaknesses should prevent arrogance. They should make me a much more humble person when I realize I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I don't have everything working out perfect in my life. Paul says it like this, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing great revelations. Paul had some great things done in his life by God. He said to keep me from becoming prideful, conceited because of these revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. You're saying God allowed a messenger of Satan to torment Paul? Yes, He did. He did. Why? Well, He said to keep him from becoming arrogant. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He, God, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, not 7 to 9. And so the first value of having a weakness is it makes me more human. It makes me more humble. It ought to make me less prideful and less arrogant. Number two, my weaknesses should cause me to value others. My weaknesses should cause me to value other people more. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22 says this, "Some parts of the body seem weakest, and that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary." One of the things I tell my kids and have told my staff for many years is never confuse prominence and significance. You can be prominent and not be significant. You can be famous and not significant, and you can be important and not be famous. My nose is prominent. It's a big nose. It just sticks out there. It's prominent, but it's not significant. I could lose my nose. It could get cut off, and I could live a happily ever after life without my nose. Prominent, but not significant. Inside of me are some things like a spleen and a pancreas and a liver, kidneys. I've never seen them. I will probably never see them in my lifetime. They're not prominent, but they're significant. And when I recognize that I don't have all of the answers, I don't have all the gifts, I don't have all the talents, it makes me realize that other important people are in my life that I need for their gifts, for their values. I'm not complete in myself. It should cause me to value others. It makes others more important in my life.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional, or if you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Matthew 9:29. That's an amazing statement. Jesus is saying that you get to choose how much God blesses you and how much God uses you in His plan for the world. So how is that possible? The answer is faith. Daring faith is the key to fulfilling God's will in your life, and it's the secret to experiencing miracles in your life. You'll want to journey with Pastor Rick through the Daring Faith Bible Study as he examines true biblical faith and looks at the lives of people who are commended for their faith in the Bible. If you're ready to break out of your comfort zone and do what God has called you to do, then order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren today. These videos are packed with inspiring teaching that will free you up to become the history maker you were made to be. Be bold, step out of the ordinary, and live a life of daring faith. Right now, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the 6-session Daring Faith DVD and workbook. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. Today is the last day to get yours, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
A third reason, my weaknesses should make me more dependent on God. My weaknesses should make me more dependent on God. Because when I realize I can't do something on my own, then I'm more dependent on God. That's why God says to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, I am with you. That's all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. Did you know that? God says, my power shows up best in weak people. If you had no weaknesses, you wouldn't think you needed God. You wouldn't think you needed other people. You'd be self-sufficient in yourself. Paul says, as a result, for when I am weak, then I'm really strong. He says, the less I have, the more I depend on Him. 2 Corinthians 12:10, now the Living Bible. Do you do that? The more you realize your weakness, the more you depend on God. That's one of the benefits of recognizing your weaknesses. In fact, Paul finally says this, I have cheerfully made up my mind. This is 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Phillips translation. I've cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weaknesses, proud of them, because they mean a much deeper experience of the power of Christ. You know, I'd have to say that in my life, I've had many different relationships to my weaknesses. When I was a young man, I didn't even know I had any weaknesses. Honestly, I didn't even know I had any. But then I got married. When you get married, that kind of helps you discover some of your weaknesses you didn't know you had. And all of a sudden, I realized I had a boatload of weaknesses in my life that I was unaware of. But you know what? I still tried to hide them. And then I tried to deny them. When I couldn't hide them, I tried to deny them. But then finally, I came around and I stopped making excuses for them. And I actually started accepting my weaknesses. And then finally, I got to where Paul it was, and he says, I glory in my weaknesses. Because it says, look, I'm a trophy of grace. God uses me in spite of my weaknesses. God uses you in spite of your weaknesses. If God only used perfect people, nothing would get done. And so really, you can glory. Paul says, I celebrate my weaknesses, knowing, look at who God is using. And people look and say, well, if God uses Rick, well, maybe he could use me because, you know, he's pretty messed up and you're using him. That's what God says. He says, I want you to learn to see that your weaknesses can actually cause you to be more dependent on Christ and bring more glory to Him. Finally, number four, my weaknesses should give me a ministry. Did you realize that God wants to not just use your strengths in ministry? He wants you to use your weaknesses in your ministry. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says this, God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in any trouble they have with the same comfort that we ourselves have received from God. So God allows you to go through a problem and He helps you, so then you can turn around and help somebody else going through the same problem. If you didn't go through that problem, you couldn't help anybody else. If you didn't have that weakness, you couldn't help anybody else. Who could better help somebody who struggles with an addiction than somebody who's had an addiction? Who can help somebody struggle with the loss of a child or a death or a divorce than somebody's lost a child or a death or a divorce? Who could better help somebody who's had a miscarriage than someone who's had a miscarriage? And who could better help someone who's been abused than someone who was abused? I want you to know I'm sorry for the pain in your life. I hurt for the pain in your life, and I hurt with you, and I wish you didn't have to go through it. But the past is past, and all of what you've gone through, I'm just saying don't waste it. Don't waste it. You've already gone through the pain of it. Never waste a hurt. Use it to help other people. And this is what God says. He says, I want to even use your weaknesses, not just your strengths, but your weaknesses in serving other people. Because people can relate to that. If I got up here and told you all the things that I'm good at and all of my strengths, you say, well, goody for you. So what? It would just build a barrier between us. It wouldn't build fellowship or harmony or camaraderie. What it builds is envy and jealousy and well, who do you think you are? If I get up here and I start telling you about marriage problems I had, we say, well, then maybe God could work in my marriage. If I tell you about health problems, well, maybe God could work in my health. If I tell you about mental issues I've had with my mind, I say, well, maybe God could help me with my confusion. Even in your sins, God can use those. You know, one time Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows tomorrow morning. Peter goes, no way, Jose, that isn't going to happen. I'm not going to deny you. Jesus said, no, you will. But when you do, look at this verse on your outline, Luke 22:32. Jesus said to Peter, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Notice, Jesus not only knew Peter was going to stumble and fall and betray him, but Jesus knew that he was going to come back, and he's giving him instructions on how to use his pain and his mistakes and his weaknesses and even his sins to help other people. He says, when you have returned to me, hadn't even happened yet. Peter hadn't even sinned yet, but he said, when you've returned to me, strengthen your brothers. That's the kind of God we serve, who weaves even the bad stuff in our lives for good in our lives. So when I look at my weaknesses, let's just review. God says, I want to turn your weaknesses into strengths. How? First, you got to identify them. Okay? You got to recognize them. You got to call it what it is. Don't fumble around. Don't make excuses. Don't, you know, poo-poo it or say it's not a big deal. Call it what it is. This is a weakness in my life. And then once you do that, recognize that God wants to use them in these four ways we just talked about. And then number three, I must openly admit my weaknesses in order to change them. I must openly admit my weaknesses in order to change them. You have some things in your life that you'd like to change. They're never going to change as long as you keep them a secret. They're only going to change when you tell somebody else about them. You say, oh, no, I don't like that. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It'll humble me. That's the point. That's the point. You see, if you could change, you would change, but you can't, so you won't. The only way you're going to change those weaknesses that you've had your entire life is when you start inviting other people to help you with them. When you admit your weaknesses, then you can start changing them. You can't change them until you share it with somebody. Now, you don't have to tell everybody. You don't have to tell everybody, but you do have to tell somebody. You don't go tell the New York Times. Tell somebody who loves you. Tell somebody who's going to love you unconditionally, who's safe, who's going to stick with you no matter what you tell them. But I admit my weaknesses in order to change them. This is the power of a small group. This is the power of having a spiritual partner, a mentor, or a spiritual friend, a buddy. What we're talking about here is vulnerability. That the more vulnerable you become about your own weaknesses, the easier and the faster and the quicker God's going to be able to transform them into strengths. Let me give you some reasons from Scripture why God says it's important to be vulnerable. What is vulnerability? Being open and honest with somebody else about my own weaknesses. Vulnerability, write this down, first, is spiritually empowering. Vulnerability is spiritually empowering. The Bible says, all of these verses are out of the book of James, James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What is grace? Grace is the power I need to change. Grace is the energy, the strength, the power to break through my bad habits, to break through my weaknesses. How do I get God's grace? Be humble. God opposes the proud, James says, but gives grace to the humble. And so when I'm vulnerable and I admit to you where I'm weak, I'm really having a hard time, I'm struggling in this area, it opens up the door to all kinds of things. But mainly it opens the door to God's grace. Vulnerability is spiritually empowering. Number two, vulnerability, being vulnerable, is emotionally healing. It's emotionally healing. Now that's the verse we started with today. James 5:16. Confess your faults to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Circle that word, healed. Now, if all you want is to be forgiven, you don't need to confess your fault to anybody else. If all you want to do is be forgiven, you confess your faults just to God. But if you want to be healed, you got to share it with somebody else. God has wired us in such a way that revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. You've heard me say that many times. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Confess your faults to each other. You see, psychologists say confess your faults to your therapist. And certain people say confess your faults to a priest. The Bible says confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This is the pathway to healing, to wholeness, to transformation of your weaknesses. You say, well, I just can't tell anybody. Then you're going to stay stuck with those weaknesses the rest of your life. You're going to be stuck in a ditch with those faults, those mistakes, those personality quirks and the weaknesses in your life. But if you'll learn to confess them, that means to just admit it. Admit your faults to each other, pray for each other, you will be healed. It is spiritually empowering and it is emotionally healing. But you know what else? Vulnerability is relationally attractive.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's 6 sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these 6 things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit. a 6-session DVD and workbook, as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Today's the last day to get yours, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.